I learned that with the swipe of my pen, I could charge someone with the lowest level offense. And because of the swipe of my pen, that person could be arrested. They could sit in jail for at least 48 hours. They could lose time from work and their family, maybe lose their job. They'd have to come out of their own pocket to help hire a lawyer. They'd lose standing in their community. All because of the swipe of my pen. Weeks later, I could dismiss the charges, but their life would forever be changed. So I learned at a very young age the power. I learned.
It is 8:05. I don't think she's really learned anything other than how to be evil, but that's just my opinion. We certainly welcome yours. Josh Morris is here. He's a state rep out of Turner. Vernon Dukes is the owner of Cafe 1055. Dee Dee Richardson is just lovely, talented, and beautiful.
Yes, she is.
Aw, shucks.
Aw, shucks. I know. She. You know what the thing about it is, though? When we're in private, she's like, that's so sweet of you to love me like this. That's so sweet of you. It's so wonderful to be.
I keep thinking he needs to get his ass checked.
No, she keeps saying, it's so lovely to be all married to you.
Tell the truth, Jerry. Dee Dee, you just tell him, stop BSing me.
No, she's.
I just pick up my feet.
More importantly, your wife has an awesome sense of humor.
She does have that.
And that is one of the most important things.
Have you met my husband?
Well, I mean, I was going to say, how in the world could she be married to me and not have a sense of humor?
Exactly. Right?
This has been one wild ride. It has been a wild ride.
Yep.
Going back to what you just heard from her, though, I mean, it speaks about lawfare.
Right.
That if she decided to disrupt someone's life, even if the charge wasn't valid, with the swipe of her pen. These are her words. Let's play this again. I want everybody to hear
this. Well, remember, she did it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And she did it, and she did it a lot.
Well, think about the man that was on death row. There was evidence to exonerate him. She would not allow a hearing to happen, so the judge ordered her to do it. I mean, these are just not good people.
Think of the number of men who she locked up. Right,
for smoking a wacky weed.
Not just that, just in California on under her regime,
yeah.
She locked up a lot. There's a reason why black men don't want to have anything to do with her.
I got to tell you, I question the absolute sanity of anyone who would vote for her. I can understand voting against Donald Trump, but I cannot understand anyone who votes for her. She has offered America nothing.
Nothing.
Right. All right, so I want everybody to hear this again.
I learned that with the swipe of my pen, I could charge someone with the lowest level offense. And because of the swipe of my pen, that person could be arrested. They could sit in jail for at least 48 hours. They could lose time from work and their family, maybe lose their job. They'd have to come out of their own pocket to help hire a lawyer. They'd lose standing in their community. All because of the swipe of my pen.
You think she's
weeks
drunk
later,
here?
I could dismiss the charges, but their life would forever be changed. So I learned at a very young age the power. I learned.
I mean, this was on CNN, C-SPAN. Excuse me, C-SPAN. Do you think she was drunk? I mean, that's an open secret in Washington. She's an alcoholic.
Well,
that's an open secret.
Obvious. But it's obvious.
But I mean. How in the hell do you go out and say that as a former district attorney and a former attorney general, that with a swipe of my pen, how do you do that?
It's not just the fact that she said it, but if you listen to the way she's saying it, she's saying it with glee in her voice.
Like, look at the power that I have over you by the position you've afforded me.
Right. And as a black man who grew up in the inner city, who saw a lot of my friends go to jail, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the district attorneys of Boston were probably no different than her.
They're cut from the same cloth.
They're cut from the same cloth. They think the same way. They act the same way, And I've seen guys go to jail for some of the stupidest things, and nowadays, these exact same people won't convict a freaking mass murderer, it seems like. Like, the idea that you've got all of these knucklehead kids running around in New York City, in Times Square, committing the same crimes over and over and over again. Right? They get caught, they get released. They don't even belong in this country.
Right, that's the whole thing.
Why are we not locking them up and sending them away? Yeah. Right?
Because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and all these other people, they don't give a damn about the American people.
I guarantee you
they don't give
this.
A damn about them. Right. I mean, you look at Liz Cheney right now. What a fraud that woman is.
Well,
I mean,
she showed you who she really is.
Yeah, she's a fraud. She's a complete and utter fraud. And here she is out campaigning. She was supposed to be a conservative titan. She's a person who labeled Kamala Harris the most radical member of the United States Senate in 2019.
Yep. Yep.
And now she's out there campaigning for him. Why? Because Donald Trump cut her and her daddy out of more of the military industrial complex profits that they've enjoyed.
Exactly.
You mean you look at George Conway, you look at those guys. You know, he's supposed to be
the Lincoln Project guys.
Conservative attorney, a conservative icon. And because he got cut out of the money from Donald Trump, look what he did. These people are chameleon. That's not fair to the word chameleon. These people are sewer rats.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing is that she, you know, you not only is she just a god-awful person, but she has shown absolutely no sense of morality whatsoever. Not like, I mean, like, this
weekend.
Well,
you just heard her.
Look at what she did this weekend, right?
Oh, I know. Unbelievable.
Those two pro-life guys, and, you know, they were at her rally, and she basically dismissed them like they were trash, had them thrown out, right, of her rally. And the very next day, she's in Atlanta acting like she's a good Christian girl. You're full of crap, lady. Mm. You're a phony. You've been a phony from the very beginning. You were a side piece, and you've always been a side piece, and nothing has changed about you.
Which is why she behaves the way she does, because
exactly.
She lacks personal confidence, because she knows she did not earn what she has.
She didn't earn a damn thing that she has. Not a damn thing. And it's sad that there are people in this country who look at her and think that she's a role model for our young women. She is far from that. You know, and this is part of the problem with our country today. We let people like this become role models for our children. What is wrong with you people? These aren't the type of people you want as role models.
Well, you got a bunch of angry old white progressive women.
Right.
And they're all about abortion, and that's all they care about.
You just figured out that, you actually do need a man, and that your life is miserable when you get old, and there's nobody there to care for you or love you, and now look at you.
And, you know, I know it's unpopular of me to say these things, but I could care less, because at the end of the day, it's the same old white progressive women who are angry and ugly and would never get impregnated to start with. Let's just be honest.
Well,
let's just be honest. Let's just be honest.
Ray, I wasn't going to go that far.
I did.
There's
all right,
someone
here's what
for everyone out there.
Yeah. Well,
but look at what
you
got
to find somebody. Some of these women are, you know, just in a way. I'm telling you. Well, you know, when your heart is ugly, so are you.
So
are
you.
But here's what you were talking about.
Remember, Donald Trump hand-selected 3 members of the United States Supreme Court.
All right. So let me stop right there. They say those kinds of words because they think you're dumb enough to believe it. The president of the United States of America is required. It does not say may. It says shall nominate justices to the Supreme Court. Of course, he chose people that might agree with him. What's he going to do? Go find some whacked out liberal that thinks that illegals have more rights than citizens? I mean, of course he's going to pick people that agree with him. It's not some hand-picked stuff. That's what everybody does. What do you think Ketanji Brown Jackson was? My good God, Joe Biden said, he did not say, let me tell you what he did not say. He did not say, I am going to find the best legal scholar in America, and I'm going to appoint that person to the Supreme Court. No, Joe Biden said, I'm going to appoint a black woman. Why did he do that? For pure politics. So here she is. Let's hear this.
With the intent
intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
So what you could hear the protesters say, Christ is King, Jesus is Lord. And her response was, you're at the wrong rally. And then here's the rest of her response. And she's up there doing that god-awful cackle that only women who have no confidence do. The little sorority girl. I mean, I don't respect her. I don't care. You can get mad at me. You cannot listen to my show. I don't care. I don't respect this woman at all.
No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Yeah, honey, there were more people lining the streets in Pennsylvania to watch Donald Trump serve French fries than showed up at your little puny rally. All right, so that was her.
Yep.
That was Miss Thing there. Miss Thing. That's what she is. Miss Thing. Miss Thang. Miss Thing. That was Miss Thing. But here's what happened in a similar moment with J.D. Vance. Come on. Come on. There you can do it. Come on. Wait a minute. Wait. Slow down, J.D. All right. We'll get this figured out in just a second here. I'm having mouse troubles. Maybe the battery in the mouse isn't working right. I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, here we go. Here's what happened to the J.D. Vance
rally. Anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right, Jesus is King. And I don't think that we've seen...
And his rally dwarfed her rally. And he was right, and she's wrong, because she's always wrong, because, well, she doesn't have the best interest of America at heart. Colonel Ron Russell, a retired Army colonel, a Ranger, a Green Beret, and a damn good guy, running for Congress. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you've brought your campaign manager.
I have.
Marky, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you. Good to see you. You wide awake?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look wide awake this morning. That's good. It's all good. Colonel, we're going to jump to you very quickly because you were in a debate last week.
I was.
It was actually proof. I saw her on TV. There is proof of life that Shelley Pengree is actually alive. She doesn't show up for work in Washington. Nobody sees her in Maine, but she did show up for the debate. So credit to her. There's proof of life.
For sure.
Uh-oh, he's getting choked up here.
Was she actually there? Like,
she was there. It wasn't a hologram. I saw it. No.
Oh, okay. Really? And, did you touch and, me to make sure it was actually her?
Yeah.
Wasn't a body double?
No.
Okay.
Oh, this, Lord, Vern, don't go there.
This reinforced one of the points that I've made all along here. I actually enjoyed meeting her and talking with her. Yeah. She didn't have horns growing out of her head. Right. But we obviously really disagree on policies and the way the country is moving. But we were able to discuss that during the debate in a cordial manner without calling each other names. And I thought it was a very well-run debate by Channel 6, and I thought it was a good debate.
Yeah, I agree. I watched it, and I thought you acquitted yourself very well. You were very, as you always are, you're very measured. You don't speak without something to actually say. And I thought you did a great job. And it was cordial. That was good. Ethan Alcorn was there, as you know. Yep. He's running as an independent. I thought the moderator was a little unfair to him when Ethan made the point about, I don't remember the issue, climate change, was it? And he said, you know, that's beyond, what he was saying was, is that that's a much bigger issue. And the moderator, when he tried to respond to it afterwards, said, well, you said that's over your head or something. I thought the moderator was unfair to Ethan on that count. But other than that, I thought overall, I think you did a great job. And I think anybody that watched it saw you as someone who's defended freedom and is now willing to go to Congress and try to defend freedom there, which is becoming more difficult than being on the battlefield sometimes.
For sure. There
are people that want to take our freedoms here so they can control us.
For sure. That is the challenge. And that's what I've signed up for here. So.
Yeah, I think you did a great job. I said to Didi afterwards, I was very impressed. You were exactly in that debate what you are here, a very measured person with common sense who understands the issues and only speaks when he has something to say.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I've said that all along about you. I say it everywhere I go. People ask me about you, and I'm like, yeah, this dude's a real deal.
Is she doing any campaigning, though? Because I haven't seen, you know, I mean, I see some signs every once in a while for her.
Yeah, they're the same signs she's had for the past 14 years.
And it's not her campaign putting them out. Right. It's her supporters.
Yeah, people are pulling them out of the garage they've had forever.
That they kept them, yeah.
You know, she'll come back to Maine the last 3 weeks of the election cycle and, you know, go shake hands and do a few photo ops. She just assumes every time that it's a sure win. And I think something that was interesting, yet not super surprising at the debate that Ron and I talked about after, is that every answer and solution she had for an issue is more spending.
Right, more government.
More government, more spending.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any more debates, Colonel?
We talked about one actually during the debate. Ethan brought the subject up, and she did not necessarily object to it, so I've reached out to her campaign to see if we can get another one on the books here.
I think it's the first real challenge debate she's had in a few cycles. I think it would be nice to have another one.
Yeah, I think it would be great too. And I did. I think it was. I thought it was good. Ethan made some good points. Shelley made government points, which is what she's all about. And you made common sense points. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was well done, and it was very cordial, which is what we'd like to see.
Right.
So it was when Tim Walz and J.D. Vance debated, that was a very cordial debate.
Right. Yeah.
And
it
I think
great.
They made the points they wanted to make.
Right.
So.
It reminded you of debates of old there with Ronald Reagan. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter.
This Ronald person Reagan, says, or you can become president and influence the Supreme Court so they can rule that former presidents have absolute immunity from prosecution for their official acts. And no immunity for unofficial acts. Not sure who has the devil in their pocket anymore. P.S. Your statement regarding progressive women only makes you sound incredibly stupid, which you are not. Well, that's an opinion that I don't share. I think progressive women are mean as hell, and it's reflected in their appearance.
And I can tell you from experience, because they all assume, because I'm a single black man in the state of Maine, and, you know, when I'm out and about, anytime I talk to a progressive, they almost automatically assume that I am of the same ilk.
Yeah.
Until they find otherwise. And the change in their demeanor is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I am the devil.
That as a black man, you should be a progressive.
I should be a progressive, and, you know, I should be.
Well, you've heard me talk about my friend Reggie Washby forever.
Yeah.
The chair of the Democratic Party the year John Baldacci ran for governor. So that was 2002. She was at an event that I hosted John at. John's very gracious and, of course, wonderful. And we've been friends for a long time. And she walked up to him and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And he said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you're a black man who's conservative."
Right.
In other words, he had traditional values. He believes in God. He believes in family. He believes in work. He believes in loving the country. Yeah, those are really awful values to hold. I guess you could be a damn progressive and hate America and pretend God doesn't exist and that you have power over the climate and aborting your baby is your highest calling. I guess that's what a progressive is all about.
Well, you know,
Ron, don't say anything. This is me.
We've been really getting in trouble all morning. So
I'm not getting into trouble. This is what I believe. Is this any different than anything you've ever? You've known me.
No,
you say 89. Right. I say 90. Is this anything different than you've heard me say in our 34, 35-year friendship?
No, absolutely
exactly.
Not.
I've always been this way.
Right.
I am who I am, always and in all places
and
in all times.
But my thing is that it's just, you know, it's gotten to be such an extreme, though. You know, you used to be able to have conversations with, you know, people on the left. And, I mean, I still have conversations with people. I love everybody. I don't really. Your politics does not define who you are as a human being. Your politics are just your politics, right? But who you are as a human being, what's inside your heart and how you act, that's different. And this whole progressive movement have changed people. Mm. It's changed the way people, you know, who they, you know, their inner selves have changed.
I couldn't agree with you more.
It's sad.
I am not like you. I'm not going to lie. I don't love all people. I want to, but I don't.
Yeah.
I do believe all people are redeemable through Jesus Christ. But I don't love all people, and I'd be lying if I said I did, and I'm not a hypocrite. I'm many
But that's
things.
What makes you you. You're telling the truth about who you are.
My interaction with the progressive element of this society over the last 10 years, I don't love all people. Yeah. They have no boundaries, they have no manners, they have no decorum, and I don't believe they have any decency. I've told the story to a few friends. I don't think I've told it on air. I was out at the mall one time. Christmas, when my children were very young. And we were at the trains. You guys ever go out to the mall and see the trains? We love the trains. Yeah. I love the trains. I've loved them all my life. My kids love them. And the people that were running the trains recognized me, so they invited, said, do you want to come inside and see how it works? And I'm like, oh, my God, of course I do. And he said, well, I meant your children. they ain't going if I ain't going. Because, you know, it's the trains, man. I love the model trains. Yeah. And so we come out, and this guy walks over, and he just starts jabber-jawing at me. My two daughters were with me. They were young. They were a little taken aback, but, you know, they were somewhat used to it. And I said, hey, look, bro, it's Christmas. My girls are with me. Here's my cell phone. You can call me on it right now to prove it's my cell phone. Give me a call. I'm glad to talk to you. So he walked away. Came back about 5 minutes later. Starts jawing at me again. We're just standing there. We're not bothering anybody. And I said, really, man, you're frightening my daughters. Please. So he said, yeah, I'm sorry. And he walks away. He comes back a third time. And just this time he's incensed. He's just got to tell me off. I finally said, you know what? I weigh 300 pounds. If you don't leave, I'm throwing your ass on the ground and I'm going to suffocate you because they can't get here quick enough to stop me. And he walked away. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
I don't like progressives. Yeah. They're mean, vicious, hateful people, which is why they act the way they do. So I don't love all people. I'd be lying if I said I did. I do believe all people are redeemable through Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean I love all people. That's a lie. I don't.
I'm a good Maine boy, New England born and bred, and I just want to say I hate the Yankees. So,
so true.
Colonel, you walked into it on Monday. It is what it is. I just, you know, I have these encounters with these progressives. They have no boundaries.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is,
if you don't like my show, don't listen to it. I beg people. I'm the only person in all of media that begs people not to listen to their show.
Right.
If it makes you so angry, walk away.
Right. Well, the thing is, you drive by the houses that have the be kind signs in the, you know, in the driveways. But those are the exact same people. The moment you tell them that you're a conservative or you don't believe the way they believe, you're dead to them.
Right.
And the fact that there were people that were, you know, excited about the fact that somebody tried to take Donald Trump's life. I don't care who he is. It's another human being, right? This isn't a war.
They were literally posting on X, how could he miss? It was 130 yards.
Exactly.
They were literally posting that on X.
Hey, remember what you guys asked for. Be kind. They're not kind people.
Here's the problem. It's like all kinds of other words. They've redefined the word kind, so it means something you and I don't understand.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've